Hey everyone, welcome to the 7th edition of Thirst for Knowledge. This episode, we'll be delving into Dark Ascension, the second set of Innistrad. Hey everyone, I'm Chris, and I run the blog mtgfan.tumblr.com, and we've got an awesome cast for you today. We'll be talking about Dark Ascension and how it'll affect various formats. We also have a new cast for you guys, and here they are.
I am Eric. My favorite colors are black and white. I like playing control out of the three archetypes. And my favorite card type is Angel.
Hello, Internet. My name is Oscar. I'm from Costa Rica. I've been playing since Invasion. I usually play mostly control decks, but I can play mostly what they give me. My favorite colors are blue and red. And if you hate blue, sorry for you. Well, let's have fun.
Oh, okay. I'm Sam. I run AtomicPanda101.tumblr.com, just a random blog that focuses on magic and everything else wonderful in life. And I started between Eldrazi and Worldwake. And I realized I never really had that much of a favorite archetype, but I love anything that requires skill level and combo. So lately I've been playing Standard Dredge. And yeah, that's about it.
Okay. So how excited are we for Dark Ascension? What do you think, guys, so far?
Not a lot.
Not a lot?
No.
Okay.
Flavor-wise, yes. Constructor-wise, no.
All right. What about you guys?
Well, what about Flavor-wise, exactly the same. It's really just awesome. The art is beautiful. The mechanics are well done. Well, maybe except for Fateful Hour, I don't really like it. But constructed wise, we have a little, I think. Not that much cards. Not that many cards that would work in current decks, but maybe someone can figure out another deck or something.
Okay, so flavor wise, I think this set is absolutely beautiful for, you know, a horror trope. Card wise, I have to say everyone's underestimating it. There's going to be some good cards, but like every middle set, nothing truly wonderful comes out with the exception of Worldwake.
Jace Fluttery.
And Jace and his little sister. But, I mean, there are going to be some good cards. We're going to see at least one pop into some EDH deck, and maybe one or two make it into, let's just say, Modern. Standard, I can see, will, you know, kind of fluctuate for about a month and then stabilize with only a few cards cycling in.
Okay. So Sam and Eric, there are standard professors here. So how do you think Dark Ascension is going to affect Standard? Will we see new decks? How will new decks adapt? What do you think?
Hot Master is going to be a one of in Wolf Run. The Lich is gonna make Snapcaster is gonna turn every single instant and sorcery card in your deck to flashback. It's gonna enable every single spell you play to have flashback because of the Lich and Snapcaster.
Well, to assist anybody who's not quite looking at the spoiler, can you like read off some of those cards that you were mentioning?
Lich. I'll read it. It's 3 blue-black. For a 4/4, he's a zombie wizard, not legendary, but a mythic. 1:: you may cast target creature card from a graveyard this turn. When you cast that card this turn, Haven Ghoul Lich gains all activated abilities of that card until end of turn. And for those unclear, an activated ability has some kind of cost, and then a colon, and then text afterwards that gives what it does. So it's not enters the battlefield, but it is, you know, 3 black, tap, sack, destroy something.
And then Snapcaster is Sao Chan's Invitational card?
Yeah, it is.
That's his name?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Much better than Denying Channel, I think.
It's a 1 blue, colorless, 2/1, flash. Comes into play. You may target an instant or sorcery from your graveyard. That card has flashback equal to its converted mana cost. You may play it this turn, I believe. Yeah.
And... okay, so go on with the standard discussion. Sorry about that.
All right, I'll take over for this part. So looking at what decks will emerge, I have to say a lot of newcomers and even some veterans are going to start playing werewolves now that they have, you know, a really good lord, Huntmaster, and Emmerwolf. Huntmaster, not a lord, but just a great card. And Emmerwolf as a solid stabilizing lord for all the werewolves.
That's the one that, like, it's
werewolves
other
wolf and werewolves get pumped. And non-human werewolf creatures you control cannot transform. And he also has Intimidate just to throw it on for him.
And well, but
seems kind of anti-synergistic to me, because the Huntmaster, you want to flip him as much as possible, but the Immerwolf says he stays as Ravager of the Fell.
Huntmaster's an exception. I mean, you don't want... Huntmaster's well, like... have, but I have to say, looking at what decks will emerge, it'll be just like New Phyrexia. We're going to see Birthing Pod make a comeback. Now, a lot of people are anticipating that Grafdigger Cage is going to do that, but like Chris said before we prepare, people like to ruin their sideboards in anticipation of decks, and I think you should have your deck ready to build. You should have your deck built and ready to take on whatever it can. You shouldn't sacrifice your quality preparing for one deck. If you need an extra card or two, throw on a Grafdigger's Cage. But don't expect every be like, I'm going to have every card with flashback and every creature fetch there.
As for me, I believe black-white tokens, green aggro, pod, undying pod, and blue-white spirits. There's going to be two archetypes, one with illusions and one with the new spirit captain.
The and hexproof,
as for,
right?
Yeah, as for mono-black might make a comeback with what's his face? What's his face?
Mikaeus?
Hardware. No, kind of find that.
Gravecrawler?
Garaf's Messenger. The triple black 3-2. Enters the battlefield tapped. Yeah.
Really?
When enters the battlefield, target opponent loses 2 life. Yeah, that with Phyrex Obliterator will be. Might have a chance. Mono black might have a chance with the Messenger.
Yeah, I can see that. Not so sure. I don't really want to see black white tokens show up. Sorin's
you know Sorin's gonna he's gonna force the archetype because Elspeth Tyrell makes tokens.
It's gonna
no, no, Elspeth Knight Errant. There you go.
No, God.
Elspeth Tyrell, oh, no, you're just talking about tokens. Yeah. Oh, okay, fine.
Alright, so Sorin, he's gonna force black white tokens. And here's my prediction. He's gonna force black white tokens. And then green white tokens is still gonna make it's still gonna prove itself worthy of being better. So he's gonna mix himself into the new Super Friends decks that'll show up as green white black,
or maybe blue white black.
white, blue, white black.
Yeah, let's play Evincer.
I mean, tis the red agent of Bolas is still around. You never know.
He requires a lot of synergy with them. Also, I have to say that I love Mikaeus in Pod and other black and even black decks. And I think if you're going to either be running Heartless Summoning decks, I have to say, if you are loving Heartless Summoning, you should play him. You know, usually it's black, red. I was just watching Heartless Summoning is good. And so you play
you can curve into it.
Well, I personally don't like that deck because if you don't have it in your opening hand, or if you don't draw it ever, like the deck is crap. Because like with Birthing Pod, you're running green, so you can mana acel into the many one of creatures. Because Birthing Pod has a backup plan, but Heartless Summoning, they run a lot of 6 mana stuff, and I don't think they have a backup plan if they don't draw the Heartless Summoning.
There are some odd combos I've seen with it, but I think it's still an unstable deck. Should they have a better fetch card? Like, if they want to throw in Demonic Tutor, that's some good advice, is some kind of fetch card. But I like Heartless Summoning decks, and Solar Flare, I would say, should try and run Mikaeus. Because I've seen, what's Solar Flare right now? Black, white, blue?
Solar Flare...
Black, white, and Menelix.
Yeah.
Solar Flare folds over to aggro, so I don't think it's coming back. As long as Illusion's still alive. Because Illusion is the main reason. Like The red decks and the illusion decks are the main reason you don't see solo flare decks anymore, because they can't handle, their mana base is too unstable to handle any aggro deck.
Eric, where are you in the US right now? I'm kind of curious, because I know decks vary between main archetypes.
California.
Okay, yeah, I'm in Kansas, and I mix between Kansas and Texas, and Illusions has fallen out just because so many players around here have Kessig, which to Illusions is more about, is, you know, more devastating than facing Valakut. Oh god, I missed that.
Well, Primeval Titan still does the same thing. I mean, Wolf Run is basically the same thing. Like, like if you play P-Titan and you get Ink Moth and Wolf Run, it's still the same inevitability, because the amount of mana you can pump into the Ink Moth with Wolf Run is retarded.
But also, you know, if they're running green-red Wolf Run, then they're going to be like, oh, hey, let's throw Infernos, and then suddenly I'm paying 6 for a 6-6 and killing 3 of your creatures.
That's the other thing. Inferno Titan might, his price might go up because of the new token decks that's gonna be popping up all over the place.
Oh yeah, 3 for 1? Yeah, I'll take that. So I mean, like, we really think that token decks are going to be popping up in the first like 3 weeks or so of
every Dark deck. I have to say, we're going to see tokens, we're going to see werewolves, we're going to see pod, we're going to see everything else that's been around. We're still going to see, you know, the random kids who show up playing junk that they bring out from their old boxes. I mean, we're going to see everything, but what's going to survive? We're going to see one main token deck emerge with, you know, a subtle, like, black-white tokens. I still think green-white tokens is going to be superior, just because it's going to be easier to run the land, Gavinny.
I think Thalia, Guardian of Therabin, might make white aggro.
I could see that too. 2 for a 2/1 first strike, and it slows down most decks.
Non-feature like, spells cost 1 more.
For example, if you're on the play and on your turn 2 you pay Thalia, your opponent can leak your next play. Like, you can't beat that.
Yeah, I have.
Like a control deck can't leak you your next card.
Yeah, turn like, 1 champion, turn 2 Thalia. Turn 3, I don't know.
You have to tap 2 mana to pay for your own.
And if it's a black deck, they can't blacks on you on that turn.
Oh no, that takes a little longer. But suddenly they have to pay 2 mana for a dismember? That's ridiculous.
Oh, dismember. Oh my goodness, that card.
I mean, it's just a letdown for me.
Yeah, it's still. I think Dismember is still in the way of, you know, many decks emerging from like their shells.
That's why Mono Black won't probably make it, because the Obliterator dies to Dismember, which is funny, and Go for the Throat.
Let's see. So, like, what are some like picks of cards from Dark Ascension that you think are going to make an impact on Standard?
Undying Evil. I wanted to jump. I like Undying Evil. I think it's just... I mean, what it does is you pay 1 mana, and it's basically a 2 for 1, because they use a kill spell on your creature. You Undying Evil it. You both lost a card, but you keep your creature suddenly stronger. And
I could argue the same thing about Withstand Death.
Break the day.
What was Withstand Death again?
Target creatures indestructible until end of turn, 1 green, I believe. Common.
Oh.
But this one is somewhat better. But I mean, because it's just like, well, +1/+1. That's kind of nice. And like, enter the battlefield. Or does it actually? Yeah, it enters the battlefield. Yeah. So it could be even better.
Any effects like that?
I mean, like, imagine getting more value out of your, like, they're trying to get rid of, they go for the throat, what would be a great card to have enter a battlefield again. They go for the throat, your Inferno Titan, and Inferno you just, like, okay, basically the card says put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control, you can deal up to 3 damage to 3 separate targets. It's just like, well, yeah. So that's what basically if that happens.
Like for constructed, I don't know. It's a terrible top deck most of the time.
I think the card is gonna make impact in constructed standard would be Faithless Looting. It's based because Grixis runs what's that card called? The Desperate Ravings.
Oh right.
To draw four of those because it can because it's like the next Pyridane. And then Faithless Looting can be Desperate Ravings 5-8. Or you don't need to run four. I mean you can run two, but like something like that. It's a good addition to Burning Vengeance. It might make Burning Vengeance be standard playable again. Not sure.
I'm not sure if this will make it to standard. I'm kind of hopeful on a common getting there again. I mean, it's no Squadron Hop, but I like Black Cat, which is black for a 1/1 zombie cat. You
know, is it literally a zombie cat?
It's a zombie cat.
Yeah, it's a zombie cat.
Throw it in zombies.
What? It's a 2-mana.
It's a zombie. It costs 2 mana for a 1/1, but when he dies, an opponent discards a card at random. And when we think about the types of discard, there's you choose, they choose, and random. And you always want you choose. You never want they choose, and random's in the middle. And for that to be on a common drop early, it'll almost be like, seeing a black invisible stalker, because they're not going to want to kill it for a while.
Yeah, but wouldn't black like distress more? Like, it's a buddy, but it's only a 1/1.
Yeah, I mean, I can see your argument. If black needs creatures, black cat works. Black cat could also go in a zombie deck. I mean, it's only a single black.
Yeah, it can go in a zombie deck. Go zombies.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Also, actually, and the other one, I'm not sure if it'll completely, it won't replace Dismember, but black decks, in addition to playing Dismember, will probably start playing some Tragic Slips.
Tragic Slip. It's one of my favorite cards from the set. It's like, it's black, instant. Common. Target creature gets -1/-1 till end of turn. Okay.
Morbid.
That creature gets -13/13 instead if a creature died this turn.
Damn.
It kills.
Living the dream.
Pretty much.
It kills up.
I think it
kills every single creature except Emrakul.
There's no Emrakul in standard.
Yeah.
No, because I'm
not talking about standard. Like
just magic
if you
in general.
The whole story of magic.
Yeah. God. It kills Withinger Unbound.
Oh, it does.
If you don't realize that's
who in their right mind is gonna get that blade to flip? You tell me that, and I will gladly see that happen.
Oh man, I want to see. Okay. I want to see somebody do it in pre-release tomorrow. They just like they get a Geist down, and then they get that Withinger, and then they just like swing into it.
Guys,
dragon.
To those of you listening, and I want you to just focus on this. If you get Elbrus the Binding Blade, I want you to look inside of your blue and just search desperately for an invisible stalker.
Really?
Who, invisible stalker, if you don't run him in blue, the only reason you don't is if you have absolutely no equipments or enchantments that pump him. And he is a little broken. You know, not broken enough to be standard playable, really. But as Mara
said, even with all the swords, he's with the hexproof, he's no Squadron Hawk.
Because I'd rather pay one.
I tried to make a Callblade deck with
Stalker Blade.
I tried to make Stalker Blade, but it never worked out because the invisible stalkers don't look for each other. Like, that's the main reason why Squadron Hawk is OP, because they look for each other. Like, if you have one invisible stalker, that's great. Like, if you play him, like, you don't draw the three extra cards, like, when you play Squadron Hawk. Like, he doesn't get you, he doesn't make you come back in hand size if you haven't. Like, yeah. Sadly, Stalker is no Squadron Hawk.
Okay, let's look. Next card to discuss. What do you guys think of Niblis of the Urn? We've been talking about, some of the most overpowered cards. Boy, this is, we're still in standard right now. Sorry. Okay. Huntmaster the Fells, I think he is he's good enough on his own to be played. That's what I like about him.
Well, yeah,
Huntmaster is probably going to be $10 when he comes out, and probably 20 if you see a pro use him, which will probably happen.
Whenever this creature enters the battlefield or transforms into Huntmaster of the Fells, put a 2/2 green wolf into the battlefield and gain 2 life. No spells
essentially, yeah.
And then werewolf transform text on each side, and whenever he transforms into Ravager of the Fells, he becomes a 4/4, deals 2 damage to target opponent, and 2 damage to up to 1 target creature that opponent controls.
Wow.
4 mana, 4 power, 4 toughness, spread across 2 bodies and 2 life. That is the red-green answer to any aggro deck imaginable.
Really? It's a beautifully designed card. I really like it.
Best part of all, he's not legendary. So you slap him one after the other, and you just keep getting good stuff.
I was wondering about that, because I was looking at his art, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be a legendary lord. I can feel it in my bones.
Key part right here. Because of that one green in his mana cost, you can green sun him for 5.
There.
Yes.
So technically you can have 8 in a deck.
Oh, man. Green Sun Zenith is just so good.
Green Sun is
It's beautiful.
Next, I like Vorpeed also.
I am scared to death of that thing.
Quite. Oh yeah.
Those of you not. As soon as I see one across the board from like, I think it's what Patrick Chappell. No, like, who's that other guy who does the magic show? Who got Jerry Thompson? Jerry Thompson said on one of the magic show, because I like their show. He's like, I'm not one of the guys who's thinking about beating people with the card. I'm one of the guys who's thinking about, oh crap, what are, like he's going to be staring down that card. Like
what do you do against it?
Yeah, like if you play Day of Judgment, he comes back. If you Doomblade it, it comes back. Scarier than ever. I'm like,
you lock it down with something. You cross.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
No, here's the thing. If you dismember it, it comes back.
Oh, God. But you can still dismember it. That's what I like about it.
It comes back and dies.
Oblivion Ring.
Or no.
Oblivion
no, it's
Ring.
Any object.
I love you some Oblivion Ring.
Yeah, there's... I mean, you have to get to basically...
Bloodline?
You have to exile it, basically.
Lock it down or remove it from the board without killing it. So you can keep bouncing it to their hand. And Vorpeed, in case you're still wondering, 2 green, green, green for a 5/4 insect. Vigilance, trample, undying. So he swings, he mows over people, he can block, and he comes back bigger and better.
He reminds me of Kodama of the North Tree from Kamigawa Block. That was a good part back then.
I mean,
trample means you can't jump block him. Vigilance means he can block. He stops your creatures from attacking dead in his tracks unless you have flying. Undying means you need 2 kill spells to effectively kill him or something that exiles.
And like the flavor text is pretty damn awesome. It's just like if you've killed one, guess again from Talia.
Ooh. That's pretty beautiful.
If this thing had haste, oh my god, I'd be scared to death.
Oh my god, if this thing had haste, I'd cost it at least +2 more. Maybe
that's
take away one attack power from it.
I think that lately Magic players have been getting really greedy because of this power curve.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Right.
Just it's green. I don't know why.
It's already like... power for mana and extra abilities and recurrence. And technical evasion. I mean, I really don't think it needs haste. This is like...
Absolutely
it's
not.
Alright, I can't remember the name. Stinks of the Steel Wind, was it?
Oh, yeah, there's just like... there's.
Yeah.
What
was it? The Achroma for Esper, basically?
Yeah, Esper, Sphinx, and it just had, you know, 8 abilities on it. It was Flying, Shroud, Lifelink, Pro from some stuff.
It didn't have Shroud. It was pro red, pro green.
Oh. I mean, it was just...
Here's the thing about that Sphinx. The fact that it was black meant that a lot of the black kill spells could not kill that Sphinx. The fact that it had pro red and pro green meant that you can't shatter it, because technically it's an artifact creature, Sphinx.
Yeah.
And the fact that it had lifelink meant that you couldn't attack into it.
I think it had vigilance too, right? So it's like, yeah. It's like, what are you going to do this against this thing?
Okay. What else did I want to say? So yeah, we decided. Oh, also, so going back to flavor text.
Mm-hmm.
Three favorite cards with flavor for not flavor text, but for the card flavor. I'd say are Chosen of Markov, Predator Ooze, and Feed the Pack. What do you guys have to say about your three favorite flavors of cards in general?
Oh, shoot. I just had one. I was mentioning it in the pot
in
the preparation earlier.
I like Alpha, bro. Like all the creatures fighting between themselves. It's a really good flavor, dude.
Was it Blood Feud?
Alpha, bro.
It's Alpha, bro. Why is that? What color is Alpha Brawl? Red? Yeah.
Yeah, red. It costs 8, like it's really, really expensive. But it, well, I'll read it. Target creature and opponent controls deals damage equal to its power to each other creature that player controls. Then each of those creatures deals damage equal to its power to that creature.
Oh,
So to avoid, you know, to clarify what this does, because I know some people are going to think why doesn't say every creature, one creature fights all the other creatures and opponent controls. First, it deals its power to everything. Whatever survives then fights it back. So let's just say if they had one creature with death touch and they had, I mean, I would much rather, yeah. This is what I'm saying. Alpha Brawl the Death Touch. Don't Alpha Brawl with their massive dude. You want everything just to go away, and then you want to have them with one blocker left, who may kill yours, but let's face it, yours probably has Undying, or you don't need it.
Well, here's my question. Who in their right mind would play that card over white? The white version.
No. Like I'm saying, I like the flavor on Alpha Brawl.
Oh yeah, Alpha Brawl's just really
like
cool.
No, it's not constructed playable, like by any means. Like it is not. It's too expensive, and it can be just as clunky. Like they can kill the creature you target, so.
So you just fizzle the spell, yeah.
Yeah, and it fizzles.
Let's see. But all right, is that all we have to say about like the standard stuff? It's you do like I'm getting over the overall vibe that standard is going to like for the first couple months like be really crazy and then stabilize into something like much more normal, much more like.
Well, there's a lot of decks right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that it's gonna look really similar to right now, but.
Well, as you can see right now, there's no top dog deck right now like there was when.
Oh yeah.
Well, when Birds was about. Yeah.
There's no Cobblade.
Oh, Cobblade.
There might. I mean,
God.
With this, if somebody finds the right combo, what's in the lead right now has been Kessig. I think, you know, not entirely, but there are more and more Kessigs popping out along with blue white aggro and white aggro. But I'm gonna say after the. Alright, let's just say that after the jump, black, pod, and token subtypes all over the place are gonna merge into the meta of standard.
A Vault of the Archangel turns any of your tokens into a very viable one-for-one trade.
that might make its way to show that I can actually see your argument now about black-white tokens.
Yeah, Vault of the Archangel, if anybody doesn't know, it taps for one colorless mana, and if it has an ability saying two white and black and tap this land, creatures you control gain death touch and lifelink until end of turn.
It's creature control?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my, I thought it was target creature. Vault?
Less.
No, it's all creatures.
It's just all your creatures.
They all become mini Wurmcore engines.
Last time I checked, Intangible Virtue gave all tokens +1/+1 and Vigilance. And Sorin gave +1/+0 emblems.
Oh no.
Yeah, they're really pushing the black-white tokens. Like,
I take back what I said. I think that white-black might now be better than green-white. I completely.
Hey, why not run Evolving Wilds or Woodland Cemetery and put Garak Relentless in black white? Just that one green mana source just for Garak Relentless.
Just win more cards.
Why not?
Yeah.
I think you need more than one if you're going to run him, but you might as well just be running Super Friends.
Oh my god.
I mean, Super Friends used to be good in a Lara block. I mean, it can still work now, not as well, but you know, when they had
The reason Super Friends was very good was because each of the individual Planeswalkers, aside from Jason and Loren, would win you the game by itself. Ajani Vengeance won you the game if it got ulti. Chase Mindsculptor would win you the game if it got ulti. Elspeth would win you the game if you got ulti. Gideon Jura is boss by himself, and he will. And I have won games with Gideon Jura by himself. So all of the Planeswalkers in the old Super Friends, aside from Bellaren, would stand if left alone would win you the game. Like, I don't think the Planeswalkers are strong enough like right now to make a second Super Friends. And plus, the reason that deck was good was because Jace made everything work together. I mean,
Everything
Storm drew everything you need.
Well, what about a green deck splashing white black, but with Karuk Primal Hunter? The Primal Hunter wins you the game. Like
Primal Hunter takes a lot of.
How can you splash white and black if Primal Hunter is triple green?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, you could splash it. It could be kind of difficult with the mana right now, but maybe they can give us another land in Restored.
Like, I have to say,
the deck is missing is one land.
Yeah. But if you want to splash in like one color, that's fine. But if you're gonna make it try or more, just ignore Primal Hunter. Go with Relentless.
Like, I don't know if you guys remember Splinter Twin when it first came out in Standard. Like, but this was before Modern came out. Chase, the Mind Sculptor, was the sole reason Splinter Twin was a deck in Standard. As soon as they banned Chase, the Mind Sculptor, Splinter Twin did not even exist anymore because they didn't have enough card draw until someone found out four Bellaren's worked just as well.
So that's all you guys want to say about Standard so far, you think?
I think so. Let's just go ahead and give, you know, our last parting words about Standard. Not leaving the podcast, just Standard.
Yeah.
Don't freak out about Grafdigger.
Oh, yeah.
Soren, get rid of him while he's still at 50 and 60. Re-get him after maybe a month when he drops down a little bit. And I'd say try and make pod.
I say keep your Sorens because there's nothing else in the set that's worth any money, and he's probably going to stay what he is.
I mean, like, how I feel about Soren, I'm kind of angry that, like, if I don't get him, I kind of, like, feel angry because I'm just like, well, this is probably more money I'm going to be throwing into Standard, you know, just to keep current. But how I feel about the set overall for like Standard, it's not as groundbreaking, of course, as World Wake, and I'm pretty sure somebody out there is just getting very, very tired of hearing that sentence. Not as good as World Wake.
Well
come on, guys.
Back then, if you opened a Jace, you technically opened a $100 bill.
Yeah.
Without a question. Like, if you opened a Jace, you opened a $100 bill.
you opened a car payment.
Mm-hmm.
Like
right down there.
It was that expensive.
And Soren right now, if you open Soren, that's $50 guaranteed in real cash if you sell him, because he's going for 60 buying right now. So you can probably sell it to a car store for 50.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of craze over Soren. All right, so shifting gears, let's talk a little bit more about Limited. How do you think this is gonna affect Limited now that we have three packs of Dark Ascension being thrown in with our
comment. I would love to see the expression of the person who opens Archangel's Light as their mythic rare. I would love to see their expression.
Dude, it's like if I opened that card up, it would just be like, all right, judge, Just give me a DQ right now. Flip over tables. Let me open my other packs. Wait just a second. Let me go get them.
That card is probably worse than the basic land that's behind it.
Oh, wow. Like, okay, I have to say that, you know, if you guys saw what the best decks to make in Limited were before Dark Ascension, it was usually blue-white, green-white, white-white anything. White was just had the most OP stuff. And now that every color is making combat... Yeah, I'm not trying to, like... I draft and I do sealed. And white just had the best overall ratings. I mean, I saw somebody play a white with one bomb, no rares, and white-blue, because you get Feeling of Dread, you get all those other control cards, and, you know, you get all the ones that make spirits, and white just stabilizes. Now, I think with Undying, every other color can make some kind of a comeback, along with, you know, the little, the uncommon lords. I'm not that worried now about opening a shit mythic like Archangel's Light. I will be pissed that I probably lost all the value in the pack from it.
Pretty much.
But I am not that scared to run werewolves in Limited of any kind now, just because of all the extra stuff they have for them.
Speaking of the uncommon lords, quick question. Why is the Vampire Lord, to me, seems like the crappiest one out of the entire three?
Wait, Vampire Lord?
I don't think he is. Stormcore Captain?
Stormcore Captain is First Strike. I think First Strike is...
First Strike.
That does not compete with Hexproof or Death Touch. Or okay. That second ability that hasn't.
Okay, I think First Strike can compete with Death Touch.
Yeah, First Strike beats Death Touch out, I have to say.
Never mind. I read the Zombie Lord wrong. Other zombies don't get Death Touch. Never mind. Okay.
But... Whenever a zombie dies, an opponent loses a life.
Okay, because I thought, okay. So, yeah, the Vampire Lord is actually better than the Zombie Lord.
Yeah. I don't like Drog's Skull Captain that much.
Plus one Hexproof?
You wouldn't want your
Hex, but
Phantasmal Snitch? You wouldn't want your Phantasmal Sun Titan with the Hexproof? I would.
No. Eric, that's where you're wrong. Phantasmal Image is an illusion. Drog Skull is for spirits.
Damn.
That's what people have been mistaking. That's why people are so...
No. Skull. That doesn't work that way.
Oh, Lord of the Unreal. All right, never mind. Doesn't work. He's double blue. Yeah. Never mind.
Let's see. But, if you're going to be running... If you crack open a Drog Skull Captain and you just see a bunch of other spirits being passed around, you just... It's so much value because, spirits fly... And this thing just pumps all your spirits.
Well, here's my confusion really here. They reused that exact same line on Lord of the Unreal. That, like, Lord of the Unreal says other illusions you control have +1/+1 and hexproof. And this says other, like, +1/+1 and hexproof, other spirits. Like, I don't get why they would reuse the artifact.
Lord of the Unreal isn't an illusion. It's a human wizard, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, it doesn't say other.
It's the same.
He's talking about the ability it gives, and the reason why it's giving for spirits hexproof is because we have stuff that kills creatures like crazy. Most spirits in Innistrad were coming in at 3 power. You did anything to pump them. With this guy, it would make them 4 power. They become targets for more spells. There's removal, and let's not forget Urgent Exorcism.
I mean, also, if you drop 2 of this guy, you're pretty much set. All your spirits have hexproof. Your spirit captain has hexproof. Let's see. What other cards are really, really would I love to see? I'm actually in love with Tragic Slip. I really, really like it in Limited.
It's hard to hate Tragic Slip, Chris.
It really is. I mean, it's just like, you know, something of yours dies or something of theirs dies. You just get immediate value out of it. It's just like, well, no, you're coming with me. You know, your best guy blocking my creatures all day, he's gone. You know.
Yeah. You really want to live the dream with that card.
Yeah, it's just so good. If you got more than one, oh yeah, go for it. But, I want to ask this question. Of all the captains, you know, the pseudo-lords, which is the most, would you, first pick these guys? At all?
Oh, you mean first pick?
Yeah.
First pick.
Oh God, that would I'm sure if there were no other guys and there was like an Archangel
not
Light.
Not the zombie and not the vampire. No. The spirit one, definitely.
The spirit
one. He himself has flying. Is he himself is a 2/2 flying. Like even if you never get any other spirit in the entire like for the for your rest of your draft, he's good by himself. Like yeah.
2/2 flyer, decent for three.
Yeah.
Right. Immerwolf, actually. I mean, intimidate on a dual color is not exactly
like,
the best thing.
Here's my thing with Aaron Wolf. How is it a wolf is a lord of all werewolves? That makes no sense. Like that's like a half human vampire leader of all vampires. That makes no sense.
Mm. Right? Did you ever see Kill Bill?
Oh,
here's your answer.
It's like this is your head.
But. I like Emerald just for the fact that there are so many wolves and werewolves you're going to see. Any decent drafters you're around are not going to be taking werewolves immediately. So let's just say you get like a Reckless Waif or something, or Ironsmith, or some of the new werewolves they added. Emerald just makes them that much better, and that extra toughness on all the werewolves really helps them. Power they don't really need, but I think Emerald would probably be my favorite of the lords, and Stormkirk a close second.
Another card that I'm really looking forward to opening on Limited would be Artful Dodge. I've just been a big fan of like blue spells that just make things unblockable. And, you know, Flashback, good times.
Yeah, Flashback.
Hey. Divination. Divination.
What is it?
Divination came back. Hey!
Again, what is
that? No. Yeah, it was up? In Man 12, I think.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
It wasn't? So it was in M11?
Yes. M11, yes. It yes. was in M11, I think.
Okay, you were saying something, Sam?
Yeah, when you say limited, do you mean sealed or limited formats in general?
Oh, both. Both, really. I mean, like, I just love Artful Dodge just because it, you know, allows me to get there in a tough, like, match that's going nowhere. Or like you know, or you know, it can help you come from behind because it's just like Artful Dodge reads like pretty much like do deal 3, deal 2 damage and then do, you know do it again next turn. Essentially.
So can you explain the art to me? Because it sounds like he's jumping to a sewer and not dodging anything.
Yeah, read the flavor text on it. That's what makes it that much wonderful. It's something about you know the sewer's doing something. It's
oh, let me look at it.
Where's blue?
Oh, there it is. So, those who know alleys and sewers of the Edgewall can disappear like smoke. So I guess it's like, it would make more sense to me if the guy was coming out of a sewer and like stabbing somebody or something
exactly.
like that.
Yeah, I think that would be a better way to do it. But whenever I'm looking through these cards, I'm looking at both, you know. I have to say, I like Sealed. I like Draft more. It's a much higher skill level. Sealed is you get to see all your cards and then pick the best choices. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you look at that and you just tell the person, don't make a bad choice. Curse of Exhaustion is a good card if you're playing white. You know, don't play Archangel White. Especially, I mean...
They're just going to make fun of that. That's why I'm going to entitle this podcast. It's just like, don't run this card.
So, how about that Counterlash?
Oh,
play a Grave Titan. I play Counterlash. I play my own Grave Titan.
That'd be fun.
There's so many things you can do. You mean, late game, they try and O-ring your thing. And you Counterlash and then throw out something like Feed the Pack or the ooze thing from last set, mm-hmm. where, you know, it puts in an ooze and its power and toughness are equal to the ooze counters on it.
So
all the ooze grow all the time, which I've gotten into arguments about. But yes, the oozes grow. You don't have a 1/1, then a 2/2. You have a 1/1, then 2/2/2s. And that's not my first pick, but
so, here's something random, like, it's just me, but it's just me not liking the card in general, but about Zombie Apocalypse, why does it say destroy all humans and not destroy all other creatures? Why does it say destroy all humans but not destroy all non-zombie creatures?
Zombies typically attack only humans.
Yeah, that was my thought about it.
Well, I mean, I love zombie movies. Who doesn't? But if you know, you've read zombie books, watched zombie movies, they always have the zombies themed where they only attack people and they don't attack each other. And
they don't attack other animals like pets.
No.
But what are the chances of your opponent having humans out?
Pretty high with werewolves and humans on a theme of like 4 out of 5 colors heavily.
Oh, speaking of, my other pick for limited was Therabin Doomsayer. It's just like pump out a dude every turn. Equip said dude, punch face.
Pump out a dude and beat Tomb Ravenous Demon.
if somebody actually pulls that off during limited.
Wait, it's dude, just,
yeah, it's just it's like you feed the demon to make it a 9/9 trample intimidate flying, I believe.
Oh, that would be pretty fun to see.
And if you don't sack a human to it, you take it taps itself and you take 9 damage to the face.
Yeah, the promo guy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, if somebody pulled that off, it's just like, all right, let me just I enter the scoop phase. It's just like, well, 9/9, it's just like a 9/9 dude I really can't do much of, or all these little guys on the ground that I'm just gonna get punched in the face.
The closer combo that's more possible, I think, since that requires 2 rares, I'm going to say is Throbbin Doomslayer and Skirstag Flayer. Those of you who don't know, 1 and a black for a 1/1. He has 3 black tap, sack a human, destroy target creature.
Yeah, they well, I love the flavor text on that one.
Here is my 2.
Certain initiates into the Skirstag cult, take a vow of blindness, pledging obedience to none but demon kind.
But here's my 2 card combo. Personal Sanctuary and Ravenous Demon.
He's like,
if you get a flip.
it's like...
Where is it? Okay, Archdemon of Greed. Okay, so Personal Sanctuary and Archdemon of Greed. Archdemon of Greed says, at the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice a human. If you can, tap Archdemon of Greed. It deals 9 damage to you. And Personal Sanctuary says, during your turn, prevent all damage that will be dealt to you. So, I actually found a use for a card. For the M12 card.
Wonderful. Oh, yeah, I remember opening that up in the pack, and I was just like, ah, this is dumb.
Like, but the demon is still tapped, so that defeats the point of the demon, but...
Yeah. But, go on, Sam, I think you were saying something?
Oh, no, I was just complimenting that. Also, though, green, one of my favorite commons from this, you said it was... You loved Crushing Vines.
Ooh, yeah, for the flavor text. Ah.
What's the flavor text? Oh, yeah. The flavor text is from Garrick, and he's basically just saying, fuck you, I'm better, to Liliana Vess. But I think the card actually works pretty well for green to have a kill spell for 3 mm-hmm. at instant speed.
Yeah, destroy target creature with flying, destroy target artifact, or destroy target artifact.
Here's one of the most intense questions about Innistrad. Why are there dragons on Innistrad? they have another dragon in Innistrad.
Moonfail.
They have no idea why they have dragons on Innistrad in a gothic horror setting.
I don't know how I feel about Moonveil. It's just like for 6 triple, you know, like triple red of that 6, you're getting a 5/5 flyer.
I would never play this over Infernal Titan, period.
Yeah, it's like each creature you control gets fire breathing until end of turn. That's kind of cool, I guess, if you're running. Like, but for 6, it's just like, no, this is not
you're
seeing
red,
but it would
flesh,
be
green.
It would be
werewolves. I can see that.
But like, I think for EDH or Commander, it would be amusing to see this played in the Riku deck. It's just like, well, I made 2 of these guys. Come at me,
Riku. Oh yeah, because. Well, Wait,
yeah,
what
makes copies.
I thought Riku's
green. No, Riku is green, blue, red.
Yeah,
I was about to say you could put him in a Momor Sig, but Momor Sig doesn't have the colors.
No, but like Moonveil Dragon in EDH, it's actually good for Scion of the Ur Dragon decks. Like you can just overrun if you have enough mana. Like that's the best use I have for him at the moment.
Oh, random comment. Feed the Pack and Tree of Redemption. Yes, it worked.
Yes.
Beautifully.
Oh my god.
My god.
Was it 13 2/2 wolves?
And what? Hey, if you have life over 13, you can, on your turn, you can tap it in response to you, in response to the feed the pack happening. So you can flip your life with the life, with the toughness of the tree. So if you have 20 life and you, and your tree is a 0-13, you turn the tree into a 0-20 and you switch your, and you make your life 13. So you get 22 wolves instead of 13.
And then you get rasped in the face and you're sad.
And then, just let's just keep dreaming while we're at it. Then response to you sacking him, you target him with undying evil.
Oh, you're horrible. You're horrible.
That's evil.
Yeah.
So I think
you can't respond to sacking, right? Oh no, but you play it before you sack.
You target him, before but... him. You give him undying evil, and then you switch your life, and then crack him.
So let's see. It's a combo you can see from miles. So, like, on the topic of Moonveil Dragon and, like, EDH that I spouted out for a little while, any cards, Oscar, that you think might be hitting EDH pretty well from Dark Ascension?
Well, actually quite many. Like, well, for example, Feed the Pack, really good in token decks in general, especially Kresh decks. Like, you sack something, Kresh is pumped, then you get more creatures to sack. Gave decks more of the same. Like, most of the token decks get some pretty broken stuff. And, like, with Mikaeus, like, well, a friend of mine made a deck that uses a lot of infinite combos with him. Like, he's just waiting to get the Mikaeus. That's the only thing it's missing. You can combo it with Triskelion, I think it's named.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most.
Yeah, Triskelion. Well,
all evoke creatures. Like, you evoke the guy, and Mikaeus is on the field, so the evoke guy dies, well, the evoke effect activates, and then the creature comes back, and depends on the effect, if it's an ETB effect, then it does it again, and you get another creature. Again.
Doesn't Undying say the creature doesn't come back if it has a +1/+1 counter on it?
Yeah, but
No. No, like, you evoke the guy. So, comes into the battlefield, it dies, then Undying comes in, and gets the creature back.
Oh, okay, you're talking about that. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I like Triskelion and Undying, actually, because you can remove the counters, and so if you have Mikaeus out, he's technically a... Is Triskelion a 0-0 or a 1-1?
It's a 1-1.
Okay, so then a 2-2.
I just had...
He'll enter with 4 counters. You get 2 damage, and then 2 to him, and then it triggers, and you get infinite damage. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the Mikaeus deck might be pretty broken, I think. The tutor with flashback, it's pretty neat.
The Black Frere, what was it called? You remember?
I'm looking through where... Which guy were you talking about?
Search your library.
Increasing Ambition.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, like, that's pretty good. Like, tutor, then tutor again for 2. Mm-hmm. Like, you just keep tutoring. And since in EDH, unless you're playing Land Destruction, you have a lot of mana available. Well, unless...
8 mana.
No, unless you're playing my Cedro deck that just donates lands to everybody and wins.
Right.
Well, yeah, like, there's a lot of pretty good things for it. And Archangel's, like, actually works a little in EDH.
I mean, there's so much graveyard removal in EDH. You've got Progenitus Relic, you know.
Yeah, of course. You have the hate, but the thing is, with Archangel's, like, it's more of a protection.
Mm-hmm.
Also, how can I say it? Like, if you're getting milled, because there are quite a few mill decks in EDH, that could save your life.
It's true. Well, I mean, do you think you'll get to 8 mana? 8 mana before you get all the way milled
in EDH? Yes. With the 9 card deck, even against any, like, even almost a god hand in some EDH decks. They usually take, you know, upwards of that many. And you probably have some kind of celebration, or somebody else does. Somebody's going to play Mirari's Wake or Cage Sun.
Yeah, here's an interesting fact. If you play Snapcaster and you target a Time Warp and the Time Warp gets exiled, you can play Runic Repetition to get the Time Warp back.
Which one's from Runic Exile?
Repetition? 3 mana sorcery, return target exile card flashback you own to your hand.
Oh.
And Snapcaster gives Time Warp flashback until end of turn. So if you get it to your hand, you play it regularly, and then you can flash, and then you can somehow kill your Snapcaster and flash it back.
Oh my god, that would work. How many times? Jeez, enough.
It only work in EDH deck though.
Yeah.
By the way, comment aside, they did print Divination in M12.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
Oh,
I just checked it.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yes, it just works again. And they are pretty heavily reprinted, like, last couple of sets. Mm-hmm. Like, Smite the Monstrous, Evolving Wilds. Now with Divination coming back in. And there were a few more in this.
Tell me why Dawn Treader Elk is 1,000 times worse than Viridian Emissary.
Which green?
Dawn Treader Elk, yes. 1 green, 1 colorless, 2/2 elk. Pay 1 green, sacrifice this. Basically, land put into play tap, while Viridian Emissary is 1 green, 1 colorless, 2/1. Whenever Viridian Emissary dies, look for a land.
Because it's 2 power that they want to kill. Meanwhile,
it's the same thing with Emissary. Emissary has 2 power that you want to die.
But they don't want to kill an Emissary for a while. They know that they could take 4 damage if it keeps you off a turn or 2 of acceleration. Meanwhile, Dawn Treader Elk, he's technically 3 mana to fetch a land tapped.
And with Cultivate not being in standard anymore.
Yeah, he's much worse.
So, alright. Any other EDH things that we've got here? Feed the Pack was one of them. What else? Oh, Counterlash? Yeah.
Counterlash works for blue decks. For the very, it's a jewel.
I have a few people who like to play the Teferi decks, and they aren't really a big fan of Counterlash.
Oh, yeah?
Why not? I like it.
6 mana intimidates counter players. They don't really like it that much.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'd be fun as like in some random decks, but for some reason, they're just kind of worried about it. And just to clarify for you guys, I'm not sure if you've truly read Feed the Pack. You don't have to sack a non-token creature. And that was one thing that caught me off guard, is I love Feed the Pack. But Feed the Pack can't stack on itself. And that's what I didn't
really... No. Like, but I was saying Feed the Pack with Crash decks, because you just have a lot of things for sacking. Like, you just don't have... the whole point of that deck is pump Crash, make it unblockable some way, and just beat the crap out of everybody.
Yeah, Crash is just like Earl.
Well, I don't like Crash personally, but a friend of mine plays it really well.
And also, I think if you're going to be playing, I mean, back to what you were saying earlier about Garruk Primal Hunter.
Uh-huh.
5 mana, and you're going to hit him off, and then you're going to make a little beast for a couple turns, but you're going to draw a lot of cards. And what I just realized was there's also Grim Flowering, who's pretty good in green decks because of all the aggro in him lately, especially with stuff like Strangleroot Geist and Young Wolf.
Yeah, it's really good.
I like that one a lot. I might actually... I'm not sure. I might throw that in my standard Dredge deck, but the fact that it doesn't have flashback makes it almost a wasted card.
Okay. So, We're coming a bit onto time here, about an hour in. So, do you guys have any like last thoughts about like Dark Ascension? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Do you think it's overhyped at all?
A card to watch out for: Dungeon Geist might be constructed playable.
Dungeon Geist.
Where was Dungeon Geist?
Dungeon Geist.
Dungeon Geist.
Oh. It's something I may have overlooked.
Two flying for a 3/3. Spirit. When he enters the battlefield, tap target creature, doesn't untap.
Yeah.
Dungeon guy.
The reason my basis for this is because not too long ago in the era of fairies, there was a very cool fairy called Sour of Temptation, and this card that card. Even though it's not big here, but yeah. This card reminds me of Sour Temptation though.
Huh. I never thought about it that way. Alright, so what else? What are your overall thoughts for Dark Ascension?
I love Undying, especially in the horror trope. It fits, you know, everything. You kill it, you think it's dead, you walk away, and then it comes back a little stronger and kills a couple more of your guys.
Oh,
the only reason I liked Innistrad was because of Bloodline Keeper, and they needed to make another one of those, but they didn't.
They did. They made Throbbing Doomslayer.
But he's not a cool vampire, though.
I forgot to ask this question earlier. What do we think of Fateful Hour?
I hate it.
A complete piece
it
of
sucks.
Bullcrap.
I hate it because...
Hey, someone might make a deck. It's called Four Hex Parasites, and every single Fateful Hour comes to
mind. Yeah. Oh, it might work.
It's like suicidal. It's
It's like suicide luck.
Yeah.
Turn one, I pay. You feed 17 life to the. You feed 18 life.
No.
You feed 16 life to the hex parasite. You drop down to 4.
Eric,
no,
fail
but,
at math.
But like,
then after that, you play Phyrexian Unlife.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Suddenly, as long as you have 15 or less life, and...
But here's the thing, though. There's not a Fateful Hour card worth me going to 4 or under to play, right? I mean, I don't think there's enough Fateful Hour cards that can drastically change the game where you want to actually make a deck around it.
I think it's just a limited gimmick, you know.
Yeah,
it's how to make a comeback from the game. Your creatures get pumped, also, and they're indestructible. Your guys are better. You make more tokens.
I mean, if they reprinted Balance with Fateful Hour, that'd be pretty cool.
You know what? I can see somebody getting blown out by Clinging Mists. Like, two aggro decks swinging at each other in Limited.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, like, I swing for lethal, and then you just flash this card, and then you scoop.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a little... Fog.
Clinging Mists. It's an instant.
A green instant fogs, but Fateful Hour tap all attacking creatures, and they don't untap during their controller's next untap step. So suddenly you get two turns to swing at them. Instead of fog, you get one to change it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it kind of reminded me of Sleep and how that was a game ender for Blue.
Briar Pack Alpha reminds me of Briar Thorn. But Briarthorn is like a million times better.
Which one was Briarthorn again?
Blair. The 4 mana, 3/3, comes into play, flash, target creature gets +3/+3 until end of turn.
Dead. Yeah.
Well, you know, they took out Giant Growth. They were going to take out Giant Growth effects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, thank you guys for coming on to the podcast, coming on to Thirst for Knowledge. Yeah, it's been wonderful having you, and I'm still looking very much forward to Dark Ascension. I'm very excited for playing it in Limited at the very least. And Sorn, oh boy, you're still going to be a card to watch.
Right. Young Wolf, he might be used in something. Someone will use Young Wolf.
Young Wolf. I will use Young Wolf all the time.
Yeah, so wait a minute. Our favorite card from the set was Archangel's Light, right? Yes?
Yes, exactly. The worst mythic ever printed. I dare my challenge to any of you, find a worse mythic than Archangel's Light. I guarantee you there is none.
Find it, post it, Chris will have a contest.
Oh my god. Yeah, it seems to be like, alright. It's like, you point out a card that's worse than Archangel's Light, your reward is Archangel's Light. How about that?
Do that. I think that's a really fun contest.
Yeah, it's like, alright, everybody, send me your Archangel's Light. Somebody win this thing. Give me the best reasoning for, like, the worst mythic ever.
Considering that card's gonna be, like, a 5-cent mythic rare.
It's just, like,
gonna give it away.
Like, I can see, like there's a shop that I've seen that just posts up crap rares on their wall, and they'll just, like, make wallpapers of Archangel's Light. Just like, I remember somebody was, like, somebody on my Tumblr was like, can I just call this, like, Jesus Bath? Because that's apparently what it looks like now.
Oh, I saw that. That was actually pretty witty.
And I just looked at it, and I'm like, it does. Now I can't unsee that. I'm really hoping not to see that in my pool. But if anything, if it does get into my hand, I'm just going to be like, you know what, F it. And I'll have somebody, like, I'll have my friend... Ralph, I'll have him alter art it to make it something that's actually cool looking at the art.
Don't waste altered art on an Archangel. The only way you could alter it and somehow make it, you know, a better use of space is give it to a little kid to draw on. Because it's going to be worth it that way.
Here's something random. Because you guys know about that's token generator that has black, white,
yes,
black, white.
Space.
Lingering Souls. Okay.
Lingering Souls. I like it.
Lingering Souls says three mana sorcery. Put 2/1/1 flying spirit tokens in play, and it has a flashback of a black and one. Why is the black equivalent? Oh, let me see. Where is it? Reap of Seagraph. Put a 2/2 black zombie creature token in play. It's the one black and two colors. You only get one zombie token for 3 mana, and the flashback is 5, while the Lingering Souls flashback is 2.
Because white's a better color, and it's black.
Oh my goodness. Oh, there's, in block, there's just gonna be that black-white token deck.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Oh,
you're gonna get Soarin', you're gonna get Lingering Souls, you're gonna get Vault of the Archangel.
And here's the other thing. Curse will never make it in block because of a Witchbane Orb. Curse will never make it as a good block deck because of Witchbane.
Anytime Curse starts, you know.
Witchbane Orb keeps the entire deck in check.
Like, that's one of the themes we kind of missed on this discussion was the curses. Like, the black curse that fetches for a new curse on somebody.
Mm-hmm. It has to be, like, a different name, though, so you can only have...
You
like,
go, yeah, you go Bitterheart Witch, you block with a Bitterheart Witch, look for a Curse of Misfortune, and on your turn, you look for Curse of Death's Hold targeting your opponent.
Okay. Yes, or you look for the one that deals damage equal to how many curses they have.
Oh, the red one. Yeah, I think it's a red one.
That one's much better than Curse of the Pierced Heart.
Why not run them both? I mean, Curse of Pierced Heart. Mana,
yeah, that's
true. That curves out your deck right there.
Alright, guys, it's been a pleasure discussing Dark Ascension with you all. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Yes,
I really appreciate
it. Make a life deck with Chalice of Life.
Oh my god, Chalice of Life. Oh my god. Okay. Alright. Oh, yeah. Before we keep launching into more discussions, we gotta wrap this one up. Alright, this has been Thirst for Knowledge, and hope your Dark Ascension pre-release goes well. Good night, folks.
May you never pull an Archangel's Light.
Exactly.
may that card not see the light of day. Good night. This has been Thirst for Knowledge, a Magic the Gathering podcast. Thirst for Knowledge is released under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 Unported License.